Welcome to this week's edition of A Degree of Interest with me, Monique Chambers, and I've roped back in the guys from the KTO because we kind of ran out of time last week. So there's Andrash, Leah, and Mari, and they're going to talk to us a bit more about how the KTO, which is the Knowledge Transfer Office, actually operates. So we talked a bit last week about how academics come in with their ideas and you sort of check them out, you help them, build them, patent them, protect them as they go along. But then, how do you get them out the door? Over to you.
Thank you. So, again, what we do is it's quite broad. Maybe it's worth mentioning how the people at the university can be involved or can contribute, or maybe just acknowledge them, because even if they don't know, they do contribute. Because what we do at the university, technology transfer, is not an integral part of the university. So a university wasn't built to do business. And what we're trying to do is kind of like entrepreneurial. So when we have to get things done or get things sorted, sometimes it puts a bit of a stretch on the university structure. And we have to ask for favors from other staff, support staff. I have to tell you that we've met a lot of half-world people who want to help us. And thanks to all of them for helping the KTO. But also we have to mention, for example, students. Because one of our success stories, and I don't know if you've heard of the Flask energy storage system, that was one of our first incubated projects. And that started off as a master's thesis, and the student went on to doing a PhD. And that turned into a university spin-out company that's established in the Netherlands at the moment. And pushing the technology to put on the market. And the co-founder and CEO of that company is the student who started off with a master's thesis.
How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it actually? You said it's a storage?
It's energy storage system for renewable energy.
Energy. So yeah. Very, very timely as well.
Yes, it is. And that project started roughly 7 or 8 years ago. So that reached our office, but the master's thesis started before. So yes, even for students, there is potential in technology transfer, and it's important to let them know that they can. This is not just a career path, but this is also an option for them to do something after their studies. And in fact, we give lectures about IP and technology transfer to various courses.
Okay, so people can understand how they can protect their own ideas if they, because I guess when you're sometimes doing your own thesis or your own master's, you don't really realize this could be something or where to go next, because you might be, you know, a scientist, not a business person. So you go around all of the faculties and talk to all of the students?
We try.
we
have a small team, and we have many students and many academics, but this is an integral part of what we do. Networking, getting to know people, getting to know what they do, and trying to match them.
And so who else do you talk to? Because like you said, it has to be something that goes outside of the university. So what other types of people do you get involved with?
Mostly industry, and not just locally. To be fair, mostly not locally.
Okay.
Because one of the disadvantages of Malta is the small size of the industry. And university does great research in areas where the industry, the local industry, is limited or basically non-existent. So in that case, we have to go overseas. But we do keep up with the industry. We do network with the industry. But also we try to network with the NGOs and the government, because they are also important stakeholders of this whole innovation process.
And so is that just to help with funding, but also to give backing as well, sort of a bit of knowledge, and maybe the other entities of the government can help boost?
Correct. And it's just passing on information, giving feedback. Because sometimes these stakeholders of this innovation process and innovation cycle, they are just not in daily contact with each other. So one doesn't know what the problem and the challenges of the other is, and vice versa. And if they knew, The whole process would be more efficient, much faster, and so on and so on. So we try to kind of like cover this gap and bring them closer.
Okay, so as a sort of goal, what would you like to see happening for the KTO and how it works? What do you want to tell the world about what you do and how they can help you, sort of help our scientists and our, you know?
Well, to be honest, I was involved in some policy recently, and I was part of a task group that drafted the guiding principles for knowledge valorization, because that's going to be the new buzzword.
Okay.
After knowledge transfer.
You heard it here first.
yes. And the aim of the European Commission is to widen the involved stakeholders in a knowledge valorization process, which means they expect countries and innovation actors to rope in NGOs, government, industry, and as many stakeholders as possible. Knowledge transfer offices like ours are the best positioned to reach all these stakeholders.
So how do you go about marketing the KTO? You've got all these strengths, you've got academics, you've got ideas, you've got, you know, easy to reach government because we're in such a small rock. how do you tell that story to all of these various industries that are targeted around the world?
Well, that's the thing, since there's so many different industries and areas and stakeholders, we have a bunch of different strategies for each. You can't market a limestone technology the same way you're going to market stem cells. You need to know who you're going to target. So, for example, stem cells, we actually spun out into a company. So that's a whole company which... what are you looking
for? Nanovotan. So basically... it might be a better idea to market the spin-out itself rather than the technology.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So then you're seeing that centre as an expertise in itself, and then other things along the same lines can go through that centre.
Yeah.
And you've built up one expertise instead of an expertise for one product.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a clever strategy.
But also, as an office, the nature of the industry is building relationships. So we as well, as the KTO, need to market ourselves and get to know different people. It's lots of self-promotion, lots of relationship building, lots of conversations that go on.
Lots of rah-rah.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
So does that turn into visiting lecturers and things? So people that are studying elsewhere then come and see what's going on here? Or is that something that just doesn't really, I'm looking at your faces, that doesn't work at all? And I'm just wondering if people are then intrigued to find out what else is going on at the University of Malta, that they start paying attention to Malta in terms of industry and things.
It's worth telling about this to everyone, to be honest. And just to mention a few examples. Today I spoke to someone who's involved in policy at the ministry, and then to someone who's an early stage researcher starting his PhD, and also to a few students and new lecturers. And it's just, you know, everybody's welcome, and everybody should know about technology transfer or knowledge transfer or about knowledge valorization, because everybody's somehow involved.
That should be something, actually, you know, when they do the Freshers Week and things, is it something that's included that people get to understand? Because
not so much, but that's what we're intending on upping our strategy, to be honest, because obviously you need to know about these things early on. If you're an undergrad student and you intend on continuing your research, knowing that the KTO exists at university is pretty imperative. It not only is an asset to them, but it encourages them as well to continue their research.
And Malta University is attracting students from all over the world. You know, you're seeing this huge apartment blocks built going up. And again, I've spoken to people on this series that who are in charge of attracting students from overseas.
Yeah.
So this is another benefit for them. This is something you would help them with as well, no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
You know, once they're students here, they're yours.
Well, you have to consider that, I mean, the academics mostly sometimes are supervisors, so the student himself would be very much involved in the work that is being done. So we are also, well, this year we launched a new kind of lecture, like tools for your research. So we're targeting mostly the research support officers who work with the academics, because it would be great for them to know how they can protect their ideas, how they can go around talking to the industry.
So. Yeah, how to, we were talking on the last program about not keeping it a secret, but keeping it a secret, kind of being strategic with your information, because getting help and input always helps. So you deal with people from all over the world, all industries. Like you said, you have conversations from, you know, all levels. Yeah. How does the team handle this? If you've got seven people, you said, in total?
Yeah.
Seven. Yeah. Sounds like an awful lot of work.
It is.
It is, and to be honest, we have a lot more work to do there to make everybody understand how crucial it is and how crucial it's going to be in the near future. And we should dedicate more resources to it, because it's not just the successes that we license a technology or create a spin-out company, but also it has other added or additional benefits that we can kind of like change the culture, change the mindset of certain people.
And is that because of the secrecy aspect of it, or is that the just in you can look to coming here and having your idea go to market?
Well, both. And it's just the approach for example, when they do research, they think like way ahead, and they keep in mind that, okay, I don't just do research for the sake of research, which is fine. People do that. But if you want to do something that's out there in the market or in the industry, from the very beginning, you have to think about it. And you have to keep it in mind, and you have to direct your research accordingly, and you have to rope in industry as early as possible, because they are the ones who know the market. They are the ones who know who the customers are and what they need. So roping them in, for example, from very early stage, it's very important.
So is this something, so when a student starts undergrad level or master's level or PhD level, they should, if they think they're, you know, they've got this idea that they want to focus their studies on, they should come see you straight away?
They can. We're open to everyone. We have to talk to everyone. We give honest and direct feedback.
We do.
Because that's what we have to do. And yes, maybe it doesn't change your life then and there. But definitely it will have an impact on everyone that can change the course of your life, the course of your career. And it's just a slow process, but we have to start somewhere.
I was thinking, because then, you know, you're saying about industry, you know, can get involved, that perhaps when students have to go off and do placements, or if they need to do, you know, a thesis based on something, they may have, you know, an in there while they're working along the way, instead of you're starting your idea at PhD stage, you could be starting working on it quite early.
And it gives them a possibility, if they want to continue working on it, going from master's to a PhD.
So how do people contact you? Do they just KTO Google? Or what's
it does come up.
Well, there are various ways. And besides from us doing active networking, they can find us on the university website. We're active on LinkedIn, also on other social media channels. And we just walk around on campus with them.
Yeah. And the door is always open.
The doors are.
Yeah.
So, but when they come in, what should they bring? Is it just a conversation that you have initially, or is it something that you write up? You know, is there something they need to present to you to show, look, this is where I want to go with this, isn't
it? An open mind and lots of questions.
I like starting with a chat, like what we do. So, you know, I had someone reach me yesterday, like about research and something. And then I asked her, like, listen, have you ever heard of the KTO? And she was like, well, I don't really know what services you offer. So I told her, well, let's have a chat. Mm-hmm. It's just a normal conversation. So,
and that just gets across the everything.
Correct.
In one cup of coffee.
Yeah, a cup of coffee.
So what do you think is the strength of what the office offers? I'm looking at all of you, so anybody can answer that one. What's the thing that you just think you really rock over any other university in the world? They're not listening.
We're very flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we try to help them along the way, even though it's like out of our kind of
sort of remit and things.
Yeah, I didn't want to use remit, but yeah, you said it. So.
They're very flexible, very friendly.
Yeah. I mean, we do try to source funds for our academics from everywhere, partnering opportunities, anything that can help them kind of go up the TRL level, the technology readiness uh-huh. level. So,
and is there there's the capability at, on campus to be able to do everything like modelling and research and things like that? Is all of that available here as well, or does it stop at a point in time with, you know, if somebody's doing drug research, for example, can we do prototype drugs? Is that a thing?
Well, okay, the university is not equipped to take certain projects to a certain level from a science perspective. So if we're talking about drugs, we're going to mostly stop at animal studies, obviously, and they're not even GMP certified. So,
but then you'd partner with other universities? Is that how it works?
We can, yeah. Or outsource.
So. Okay. And that's where your industry relationships comes into it again, that you can further...
And not just our relationships, also the relationships that the academics have themselves. So it's very important as well that the academics themselves network.
Yes, and in fact, sometimes we are called facilitators for a reason, because we can't do certain works ourselves, but we can facilitate. And sometimes that's our added value.
Okay, and that you think that's specific to where you are here in Malta, because it's easier to contact and people like speaking to people from Malta, or is that just a specialism you think within the team you've curated?
Well, that's a good question.
Oh, you're shy. No, but is it something that you think you have as a differentiator at Malta University? Could this be something that attracts students, that the KTO here is actually quite special?
Yeah, I think so. As a student, to be honest, coming into this, I had no idea what the KTO was. In fact, the interview ended up being an hour of just Mari and Andras explaining, because... even trying to explain to my friends, nobody really knows what it is. But it's something that people need to know what it is. People need to understand. Because knowing that this is here and what opportunities it opens for everyone, it's imperative.
Excellent. And so from a marketing perspective, you can see there's quite a work
yeah,
to do just on the KTO.
Yeah.
But quite exciting as well to have all these brand new, fresh ideas too.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest myself. As a student, I didn't even know that there was a legal office at the university. Like, for me, when I hear university, it's like students, academics, and that's it.
So. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, see, I think parties.
No, yeah.
Such a different stage.
I meant when someone hears of a university.
Oh, I see.
Like, you wouldn't know what offices there are. Like, it's something that...
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine, like, why would a university need a legal office? And then it's like...
Yeah.
And this, you were talking about the new buzzword. So...
Knowledge valorization.
So are you going to change your name to KVO, or is it going to say KTO? KTO? I'm just wondering if after we do this, we need to come back and re-record.
No, it's a good question. And we love to change our name because KTO doesn't, it's not distinctive enough. So it's like a general term. But a bit of a history about the terms. So we started off as technology transfer because they wanted to transfer technology, but then they realized that, okay, it's not just technologies, we can transfer whatever intangible knowledge. So then they opened it up to knowledge transfer because it's broader. And now it's not just transfer, so not just transferring knowledge or technologies to the industry, but it's kind of like co-creation involving a lot more stakeholders. So now the new buzzword is knowledge valorization.
There you go.
Yeah.
We could maybe do a whole sort of thesis on this.
Yes, there's a lot to tell about it, there's a lot to think about it, and there's a lot to do here.
So what's the future for the KTVO or whatever? No, seriously, what's the next academic, I'm gonna say 5 years, because your world is a longer world than most.
Well, I personally believe that our team is doing a good job, and we just want to keep going on this way, expanding our team, and just speed up on marketing. That's why we brought Lee on board, and just tell everyone what we do, and just drop in more and more people and co-create. Well, our ultimate aim is to create a great research community. Not just within the university, but also locally. So a great Maltese innovation community. And for that, we need to do a lot of discussion, we need to do a lot of talking, and we need to do a lot of networking and meeting. So
it's not just students you want to get in touch, you want academics, industry, anybody we think can help, government, NGOs,
internal and university itself, staff, everybody.
Everybody can help.
Everybody.
It's a collaboration. So
on a day-to-day basis, I'm just wondering, you know, when you've got all of these people coming in the door, what do you do for them? You know, you say you sort of meet them, you have a coffee. Tell me about what you tell them and what you do on a daily basis.
What I tell them? Well, I always start with what the KTO does. But as Anders was explaining last week, basically, there are several things that we need to do. So it's IP protection strategy, commercial strategy, and the commercial strategy part is where, well, I mostly focus. And I hate saying the word commercial because the way that I think of it is, like, I always try to say, push technologies out of the university, out there, like out there, on the market, whatever, but out there to be used. So, in fact, I had a very interesting technology. I think it was 2 years ago. So this is not stem cells. This was a hearing device. So there, an engineer came to us and told us that they had a student and his friend is a deaf water polo player. And he had trouble playing water polo because he couldn't hear the whistle. Uh-huh. So he always has to look at the referee. And they wanted to create a device with haptic feedback, which can vibrate with the whistle of the referee. But as you come to think of it, it's a very, very small market. We're talking about deaf water polo players, so hearing impaired people, and that's already a small market within itself. And we're talking about sports. So the way that we spoke about it, so at the time they were still looking for funding, and I helped them apply with the social impact award. Unfortunately, they didn't get it, but we didn't stop there. So I contacted some local community, and they managed to source funding through friends and internally, and they did manage to come up with a prototype. And what we are going to do now is, so this was actually a master's student, and the master's might actually eventually just work on it and take it forward into PhD. Uh-huh. But we also have to see whether there's potential in that. And well, what we're doing now with it is basically we're trying to get the local ministry involved, so like Ministry for Inclusion, Ministry for Sport, and we're trying to look at other sports which we can target, so not just water polo, athletes, the gunshot, something.
Yeah, of course.
So other sort, like other applications to it, industrial applications to it, so that it does not remain so much of a small market itself. So we started talking to the academic, and the thing is that if there is not one person who is very dedicated to this technology, it won't work. But fortunately, we're going to have someone, so the student himself is going to be on board with this. And we're going to try look for funding. We're speaking to companies. So this is what I do. I do a list of companies, try to find other potential applications, and try to make this work eventually.
And this could be something that if, you know, Paralympics type of inclusion as well. So that's quite exciting, actually.
It is. And I mean, when you speak to companies, obviously they're not interested immediately because, okay, they care about money at the end of the day.
But it's also more work for them, no?
Yeah. But they want it to be embedded. For example, it started with being embedded in the water polo cap. Uh-huh. And now it doesn't need to be embedded anymore. So that's great. So they want to create it robust enough so that it can have the impact, for example, to be used in rugby.
Okay.
So other sports, and we're trying to get involved with Arena, for example, the actual water polo cap company.
Okay, they're a company as well. Okay.
Yeah, and it's with the help of the ministry that they actually have the contact. So back again to our conversation, networking with the local community so that we can try and get contacts to reach other people.
So there's a lot of chatter and a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
That goes on.
Well, then we have decaf, right? So.
But also sort of spelling out the idea and just thinking about, like I say, how it can be applied.
Yeah.
Because often you think of it in one way, but actually you have to come in yourself and see where else it can be used to make it marketable.
Yeah. I mean, what I did is we sent out a survey to US. So apparently it's very popular in the US, like hearing impaired water polo sports. There are a lot of clubs, actually.
Okay.
And we sent out surveys and we actually had a lot of feedback. Oh, wow, this is a great idea. I mean, the idea is always great, but it's just how...
Will you pay for it? Yeah. Who's going to pay for it?
How can we make it work? Mm. And this is what I struggle on a day-to-day basis, how to make them work. So
But you do it. Yeah. You do it. Well, good luck with that one. That sounds really interesting, no pun intended. just like to thank you all from the KTO and encourage people to use you properly so that you can keep putting Malta on the map for all the fabulous ideas that come out of university. Thank you for joining me here on A Degree of Interest.